Hey, this is Mike Neglia, and you're listening to the Expositors Collective podcast. On this third episode, you're going to listen in as myself and Clay Worrell interview and have a conversation with Pete Nelson. And in the beginning of this, we talk about kind of the mildly embarrassing backstory or the origin story of where the Expositors Collective came from. So listen in for that. But then also towards the middle or the end, we talk about what I think is one of the most important aspects of why we exist. We exist to promote Christ-centered preaching. And so if you've heard that phrase and you're curious as to what it is, really pay attention as Pete kind of unpacks what it means to say that a sermon is Christ-centered or gospel-oriented. What does that mean? What does it mean when we talk about landing the plane? So I hope you enjoy this conversation. And as we say in the conversation, you're very welcome to sign up for our upcoming event taking place in Aurora, Colorado on July 20th and 21st. There's still a few slots left, and we'd love for you to come along. So thanks for listening. Welcome to the Expositors Collective podcast. I'm sitting with my co-host, Clay Worrell.
Hello.
He is the Al Borland to my Tim Taylor. He is the Jimmy Fowler to my Joe Thorne. And our guest, our main guest, is Pete Nelson, the founder, the architect, the brain behind the Expositors Collective. So good to have you.
Yeah, good to be here. This is great.
So on this episode, we thought it'd be really worth it to hear a little bit about like what the Expositors Collective is. It's not just a podcast, is it?
No, it's not just a podcast. Actually, Mike, the podcast idea was generated out of having our first Expositors Collective. And the Expositors Collective was really an experiment, and it came out of an idea. Really, it started with Mike, you and I, was it 2 years ago? We did a workshop.
1 year ago.
1 year ago.
Yeah.
Okay, just 1 year ago. We did a workshop, Christ-centered preaching, with Char Broderson, and it wasn't very well attended, was it?
We don't want to publicize that.
it's part of the story.
Mike, exactly how many people were at that workshop?
Okay, not counting like the myriad of angels that Hebrews chapter 12 says are present, and the room monitor who was assigned who was there because they had to be. There was three attendees.
There was more than that.
No, there wasn't.
I'm pretty sure there was exactly.
No, there was exactly three.
Okay, see, that makes the story even better.
Yeah.
I love it.
So there's a panel of three of us up front sharing our wisdom, and there was three lucky people.
Out of those three, two people came up to me and said, "This is the best workshop I've ever been to." Wow. And they said, I can't believe there's not more people here." and they said, all these guys really need to hear this. And it just encouraged me. Even though it was not well attended, I walked away super encouraged and thinking, we got to do this again sometime. Some way, somehow.
Yeah.
So that was lingering in me. Just the way we went about it was really interactive. It was the information was really good. I love the interactive component.
Yeah.
So that was lingering in me, okay? What else was lingering in me was just seeing at a lot of conferences where the younger generation was kind of sidelined. a little bit in my experience. I've been going to conferences for, you know, many, many years. And I've sort of carried that with me for a number of years, wondering.
How many years? How old are you, Pete?
I'm 51.
Wow.
Yeah. And so maybe the last, you know, 7 years or so, I would just think, I just had a heart and I always thought, you know, once I have my own building, I'd love to do something that's focused right on the younger generation and let them know how important they are, how much we value them.
Yeah.
And so when we came back from Sydney, Australia, and we got our new church building up in Thousand Oaks, I thought, you know, it just, all these ideas converged. And I feel like, well, I won't get into that, but so I called you, Mike, and I said, hey, I've got this idea. What do you think? And it started snowballing, and then we brought a few more guys into the conversation.
Yeah.
And it got more of an idea, and it was, let's, you know, and it just turned into it's a 24-hour interactive preaching seminar for guys and girls that have a desire to teach the scriptures expositorially. But then our emphasis, which we think is really important, is on Christ-centered preaching and teaching what that's like and helping a next generation of teachers develop the instincts in their study time, their prep, and their delivery to keep it on Jesus.
Right, yeah.
And not just preach about Jesus, but preach Jesus. Hmm. And there's a difference.
Amen. Yeah.
So you mentioned like expository teaching and then Christ-centered preaching. It might be nice to circle back and define each of those terms, but did you have something you want to say first?
Well, just, we can do that, and then I can share what I was about to share.
Oh.
But let's do that. This is good.
Yeah, what is expository preaching?
It's, you know, quite simply, and I'm sure, you know, in these podcasts, they're going to be explained maybe more in depth, but it's just to expose the scripture. What does the text really say to its original hearers? You know, all the elements of hermeneutics, you know, to properly exegete the text and to bring out the true meaning of the text would be expository preaching.
Yeah. And then I would just briefly want to plug episode 2 and episode 1.
Yeah.
First being an interview with David Guzik where we broached this, and then episode 2 is his talk on the power of expository preaching.
And so then Christ-centered preaching is how we land the plane.
Okay.
Where's this exposition leading us? Is it leading us to five principles of being a better person?
Right.
Better Christian, better whatever. Here's what you do. Here's five great ways that you could do better at this. Is that the application? Or is the exposition of the text to give us a clearer, more deeper picture of the cross and of what Jesus has done for us and the power of the gospel in the Son of God in our own lives, and that our righteousness rests on Him and our living out, you know, what we're learning is all through Him, through His finished work.
Wow. So you're saying that Christ-centered preaching doesn't mean making mention of Jesus in your passage or quoting Him from time to time, but you're saying that there's a kind of goal or an aim or a destination, or the plane is headed towards there.
Absolutely. And I think there can be nuggets, gospel nuggets throughout, of course, but it's all leading us to the cross and what he's done for us and how He is the fulfillment. You know, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus told His disciples, and He explained that the law and the prophets and and the Psalms, everything was pointing to Him.
Yeah.
And so Jesus told us all of this stuff points to Him. It doesn't point to now point to us, now be a better you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I think that's where the power is in the in Christian living.
Wow. And Clay, you and I were talking about the road to Emmaus just a couple days ago. Any thoughts on the road to Emmaus? And
you know, I just actually taught the road to Emmaus this last Sunday, and as I was explaining Christ-centered or Christocentric preaching to the church, one of the things that I think is important and that I shared with the church is that this doesn't mean that we try to like make Jesus leap off of every page.
That's
you know, right.
Right?
It doesn't mean that we are over gonna, you know, allegorize everything and try to turn everything into a picture of Jesus, though of course there's plenty of examples in scripture of allegories and pictures of Christ and things like that. But it's making sure that as we teach all of the scriptures, we keep in mind the whole arc of the story of the Bible is pointing to the finished work of Christ on the cross, and if we lose where each passage fits in that big picture story, we're losing Jesus, and we're preaching.
Yeah,
we're gonna go, you know, in error. So I think on the road to Emmaus, that's what Jesus did. He was showing those two followers of his. Mm-hmm. The big picture story that the scriptures were telling all along, and that it's about him.
Yeah, and I like that word story, because that's what it is. It's the whole of scripture is God's grand narrative. It's God's story.
Yep.
And in God's story are a bunch of mini stories of failure and sin and brokenness, and you know, just the normal human experience is represented in all the mini narratives within the grand narrative.
Yeah.
But when you understand the gospel in the book of Romans, you know, and justification, actually, we have a story. I have a story. You have a story.
That's right.
It's full of success and failures and brokenness and sin.
Yeah.
And somehow in Christ, he has absorbed our story in his story of redemption. And it's such a great word. And so in our preaching, if we could help people to understand that their story is real, they experienced it, that they didn't make it up, it happened.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But in Christ, he's absorbed that through the cross.
Right.
And now he's not only forgiven us, but he's put on us his righteousness. He's justified us. And so he's placed on us his righteousness over us. And he's covered our story. He's taken our story on himself.
Wow.
You know? And I think also, back to what you're saying, Clay, is that it also doesn't mean that you don't call people out during your preaching.
Hmm.
And you don't, it doesn't mean that you can't go, you need to be a better husband.
Right.
Or you need to be a better father.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You need to step it up. You need to repent. Because here's what the Bible says. It doesn't mean that you don't do that.
Right.
In the course of a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it means you just land the plane that, you know, it's all in Christ. You know, you're forgiven. You're justified. You know, he Christ in you is the hope of glory. Yeah. He's our hope, you know.
Yeah, you know, oftentimes the difference between, say, a moralistic or legalistic mm-hmm. message versus a Christocentric message mm-hmm. is not the application, but the means and the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the call to action may be the same, but when it's Christ-centered, he is the means to that action, to mm-hmm. the repentance or the response, mm-hmm. and he is the end for why, you know, mm-hmm. for his glory his kingdom. But the application is often the same, you know, which is transformed lives and responding.
Which only he can do.
He's mm-hmm. the only, and that's why preaching that's not Christ-centered is powerless, because mm-hmm. it leaves us with our own guilt or effort or energy to affect our behavior, which we know never works.
Yeah, and I think Brian Chappell or someone was saying that if there's a sermon that is dependent on your ability to be a better husband, well, then who's the hero? You know, it's you.
Yeah.
Just do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then if you can do it, you can. It's a self-salvation project. Mm-hmm. And then I think, yeah, what we're aiming for with Christ-centered preaching, amongst other things, though, is to just really restore Christ to Christian preaching, and that he's not a prop for us to help ourselves with, but that, yeah, he is the empowerment to do. And I think there's a kind of a mischaracterization or a caricature of Christ-centered preaching that kind of goes like this. Well, you know, the Bible says you should not covet, but we all know that you can't. Christ is the only one who never coveted. So look to him and enjoy him. Let's pray. and that's kind of like a simple way of looking at it. But it's not less than that, but it's certainly more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
That's good stuff. It's great. Yeah. So let's talk about our Expositors Collective.
Yes, for our
hearers.
You grab the steering wheel and
let's bookend it.
Yes, okay.
Because a huge part of this podcast is to encourage people to try and make these collectives. That we're having more of them. The experiment was successful, and
yeah, it worked.
It worked, and so we're planning more. And the next one is in Denver, Colorado, July 20th and 21st. Actually, in Aurora, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver.
Right.
And we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to fine-tuning the template that we've come up with the subjects, with the workshops, with the interactive elements that we've put in there, and it's exciting.
Yeah. So, what was the first one like, and what can someone expect if they were to go to expositorscollective.com and sign up for the workshop? What can they expect if they were to come?
What you can expect is, again, it's a younger generation, so you're going to meet people in your generation that are at different levels of their preaching.
Right.
Some people just starting out, and that we want that. We want the collaboration. I think that's really healthy when you sit down at a table and you learn by talking to each other.
Yeah.
And so at wherever you're at in your journey in ministry, you just have a desire to preach and teach the scriptures.
Yeah.
You're welcome to come. So you'll find people who are in the same place that you are, and that'll be incredibly, I think, encouraging. Just the pure camaraderie and fellowship of like-minded people coming together with one goal.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be great. You're going to have we do brief talks, so it's very different than a conference where you have sort of back-to-back-to-back sermons.
Yeah.
And break, and then a sermon. It's like more like brief talks, you know. People have a, you know, describing it's like those TED talks where the purpose of the talks are to stimulate the conversation. It's the purpose. So it's bullets of information to stimulate the workshops and what we're doing in our groups. So if you come, expect to receive and listen, but expect to also interact,
right,
and to be prepared to contribute to the things that we're going to be talking about.
And I think that's a real, like, maybe not unique, but I've never been to anything like that before, and that was all your idea. So great idea. So on that first day, I think after the first session, everyone came in their groups or individually, and then they were divided up into, 15, 16 kind of groups?
Yeah. So it's one leader. So every group has a group leader, and that group leader is sort of on the same page with us, what we're going for during the Expositors Collective, and he's there to guide you and to guide the conversation. And he's been further down the road in his ministry or her ministry. And so it's about 6-to-1 ratio that we do. And you're in that group for the entirety. So bring all your friends, come with your friends, but then right at the beginning, we
make
split,
new friends.
we split everybody up in their groups, and then you're in your cohort
for
a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
And it's very fast pace. There's not a lot of downtime. It's brief. It's 24 hours.
Yeah.
But it's just calm, planning to dig in.
Yeah.
And our prayers that you would leave just encouraged, filled, excited, that the Lord would just kind of set the trajectory of your teaching ministry.
And I really enjoyed my group. There's like just to have that range of experience, you know. Mm-hmm. There was one guy, and he had never preached before, and then he was like, you know, mm-hmm. teaching at his youth group, or he was an intern, and his first sermon was coming up, you know, that Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so he had 6 days. And so he was like, I'm here, like, you know, in general, but also you gotta help me do this sermon because I'm preaching, I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. So we had him, and then we had a guy that's an associate pastor, mm-hmm. and he's looking to plant. And so, we were all together encouraging each other with various degrees of experience, and it was good. What was your group like, Clay? You were one of the group leaders.
Yeah, so, I mean, my group was great. I also had guys with varying degrees of experience. You know, one guy was a co-pastor of a little church in Denver, actually. He'll be here at the next one as well. And cool. Down to, you know, youth guy, a guy with a call to plant a church. And it was really good. And what I was going to mention is, like, obviously it's not guaranteed, but the hope is that from these groups, sometimes relationships will continue between the group leader, the mentor, and the mm-hmm. and the attendees. And that's been the case for me with one of the young men in my group. I've mm-hmm. I've been able to continue to coach him to a certain degree. When he preaches, he'll send me his notes, and I'll look over them and give him notes on his notes. Critique his sermons and stuff. So you know, and again, that's not going to happen with all six of the guys in my group, mm-hmm. but if it happens with one, as the Lord leads, I think that's one of our goals as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful model.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one last invitation to sign up. If people aren't convinced to come yet, what else have you got, Pete?
I just, you know, it's... We purposely made it incredibly affordable.
Right. The last one was free, wasn't it?
It was free, but we're doing $20 because the last one, we filled up really quick, and I turned a lot of people away. Mm. And on the day of, there was like some no-shows, and we put out we really need to know because there's people on the waiting list. And I just felt like...
Can you name those people?
Yeah.
Name and shame.
Yeah. And so I just, you know, what's $20? And it's a little buy-in, you know.
Yeah.
And as this ministry, this idea, this vision grows, you know, we'd like to have maybe a little resources to you know, expand different areas of it. But it's still $20.
Clay, what can you get for $20?
Some In-N-Out.
Yeah.
And a coffee.
For you and three friends.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a...
Hey, here's the thing. I mean, we have a host church. You're going to come. They have refreshments for the whole time. They keep... It's great, you know, and we have a dinner that's going to come with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
That's genuine shock. I'm not just... I didn't know that. That's not me pretending for the podcast to be excited.
And it's worth pointing out... I stepped away for just a moment, so if I'm repeating, I apologize. Yeah. But it's worth pointing out that everybody who's involved speaking and coaching is doing it on their own dime still. So this is an investment, more of an investment for those who are, you know, leading and investing. Yeah. than
that's a huge heart behind this. Yeah. And we share that at the seminar. There's, you know, there's going to be like 20 some pastors there being your group leaders, sharing one of the talks. And we go, hey, everyone got themselves here.
Yeah.
And because we want you guys to know that you matter, you're important, you're valued.
Wow. Yeah.
You're the next generation of preachers. You're the hope for the church. And we're making an investment in you.
Yeah.
So that's the heart behind this. And you know, I got a lot of response from a lot of young people that just really appreciated that, because that hasn't necessarily been the case in a lot of different conference situations. So
yeah. Well, fantastic. Well, I hope to see you there, listener.
Yes.
I know I'll come. See you there, Pete.
But I know you were looking at me. Well, when you said it.
I'm speaking.
I said,
whoever I'll be there. Yeah. I realize this is in people's earbuds right now, and so if you're listening to this, I want to see you there and meet you in person.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to stay connected to us by finding our website, expositorscollective.com, finding us on Instagram. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, it would really help us out if you did. Be sure to leave us a 5-star ratings on iTunes if you could. And yeah, guys, enjoy your personal study and the public proclamation of God's word.